and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm not eating my oats this morning, if you know what I'm talking about. Good to be home. Flew in late last night. If you can see it in my eyes, bags under my eyes here this morning. I'm not complaining because I'm certainly not as tired as those guys who are still left down there in Corpus Christi, the Body of Christ, Texas. Did yeoman's work yesterday. We're going to hear from some of those guys here today. Michelle and I flew in last night. We got in. Amazing. We hit the ground about 11:15 or so, and then we had a medical emergency about the last half hour of the flight. Some guy up in front of us was having a seizure. And so I don't know if you guys have ever been involved in something like that. You know, when the guy comes over the PA and says, basically says, is there a doctor in the house? So, you know, oh man, are you kidding me? But the guy evidently had some seizure, has a history of seizures, maybe was having a seizure, whatever. They got him off, and Shelly and I rolled in here, pretty late, but I've got to tell you this, the cat was happy to see us, and the dog was happy to see us, and can't wait today to get a chance to see our grandchildren. All's good. We had an unbelievable weekend down in Rockport. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. I just sense in my heart that I want to open with this issue, and then I'm going to move on. Got a lot of good stuff to be able to show you today. Folks, listen, it's PSYOPs. Am I coming through okay, Jared? Everybody hear me out there? Thumbs up. We're doing good. Let me give him a glass of water. Yeah.
Sounds good, brother.
Okay, buddy. Thanks, Vince. A little bit of PSYOPs. PSYOPs is going on, folks. It continues to go on all around us. And I don't want to have kind of a lighthearted show here this morning because I got to be honest. I'm tired. I know all those guys are tired. We got a great testimony, some stuff to be able to share with you. I apologize, first of all last weekend. I'm about ready to throw this thing. I don't know if you guys have one of these phones. Always in my whole life, every time I went on the road, if I had computer issues, I could click on my phone and go right on live broadcasting. This thing would not work for me when we were down there. I don't know what the heck was going on. So I know Jared takes it very seriously, our web guy, the guy who runs the show, producer, engineer, whatever you want to call him. And I know he feels bad when the show doesn't look good. And the show didn't look real good on Thursday and Friday, but it was totally and completely my fault, the phone's fault, whatever. Back in the studio today and heading forward, heading in the right direction. Got some clips I want to show you, some different things. I want to talk to you very quickly here about the old divide and conquer strategy, the old, hey, bootleg, hey, keep your eye on the ball, go here. Folks, this thing about the NFL and protesting of football games is just another PSYOP. That's all it is. I want to make a couple things really, really clear to you, and then we're going to get into our great work that we're doing down in the Rockport. I was a high school football coach. 1997, I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union for having prayer with our football team. 1997, that's 20 years ago, ironically, 20 years ago. And I was screaming and hollered at everybody then that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Jared, maybe you ought to pull that up there for me really, really quickly if you can. That's just the First Amendment. Just the First Amendment. Words have meaning. Remember, change the words, you change the world. What's going on around us, everywhere we look, going on around us. This Colin Kaepernick decides he's not going to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Or I'm sorry, the prayer, the national anthem before the football game. World goes crazy. It's everywhere. You go on Facebook, that's all they're talking about. About these guys, these millionaires who won't stand for the. Hey, people, can I tell you something? I'm far more concerned about abortion. I wonder how many babies those NFL guys have aborted. I wonder how many. We'll say again. I wonder how many of those football guys have aborted babies. I wonder how many of those NFL cheerleaders have killed babies. I wonder how many. I'm worried about whether some guy stands up and puts his hand over his heart for the Pledge of Allegiance. It's all emotionalism, all emotionalism. But I want to. Trying to make a connection here, Jared. Jared's got it up. The First Amendment to the Constitution says this. Okay, now look, guys, I'm going to walk you through this very, very slowly. I know you're smart enough to get it, but this is for those who cheated in Jim Craft's social studies class when he was teaching in high school. It says, Congress shall make no law. Now, let's stop right there, because it's critical for us to understand, number one, the only ones who can make laws are Congress. That's it. The only ones. Courts don't make law. Judges don't make laws. Presidents don't make laws. Congress shall make no law. Now, if I were to say, Michelle, my wife, shall bake no cookies, what does that mean? Well, it means Michelle can't bake cookies. Not allowed to bake cookies. Can our daughter Abby rule about the cookies? Can Abby change the law on the cookies? No. Can our local sheriff make a rule about cookies? No. No, not if there's a law that says Michelle shall bake no cookies. So they come up with a law. The First Amendment, by the way, the most important one of all, says Congress shall make no law. And that talks about what the law, they can't make any law about. Very first thing, what? The establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We hear about the Establishment Clause, but we don't talk about the Free Exercise Clause. Free exercise. Congress shall make law. Let me break it down. Congress shall make no law respecting the free exercise of religion. Congress shall make no law respecting the free exercise of religion. See, we get caught in the Establishment Clause. These two clauses are connected together. Congress shall make no law regarding the free exercise of a religion. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Congress shall make no law. Hey, listen, why do they say Congress shall not? Because Congress is the only one who can. Courts can't, presidents can't, judges can't. Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Jared's working on my screen, so it just blew off of there. Here's what I'm trying. Okay, with me. 1997, I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union for having prayer with our football team. And I screamed loud and as hard as I could to anybody who would listen. My right to pray is inalienable. It cannot be taken away, not by Congress, not by anybody. Now, here's the good part about it. They can throw me in jail, but they're going to have to stick a sock in my mouth because they have no right to be able to silence me. Congress shall make no law respecting the free exercise of religion. Are we all together there? Okay, we are. They shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. They can't make you be a Buddhist. They can't make you worship government. They can't make you worship homosexuality. They can't make you do any. Congress shall make no law respecting your innate God-given right to express yourself through speech, all that. With me? So I went to court, two-year battle for my God-given right to be able to pray. Right there it is. Congress shall make no law. So show me the law. I can't show me the law. So there is a separation between the church and state. I said, cool, where? Show me where that is. Show me in the Constitution where there's a separation between the church and state. Well, there is none. They just told us it is. It's a lie we've been given. I'm talking about distractions today, okay? Distractions. So the courts have ruled. Are there any soldiers in our queue today? Anybody that was a soldier? I'm looking. Anybody in the queue, sir?
I was Coast Guard.
You were in the John. Coast you were Guard. In the you're in the military. You served.
Yeah.
Chris
submarine.
Fletcher said he was. Joe was in a submarine.
U.S. Army.
Okay, you at Larry in U.S.
Army Corps.
Let me ask you a question here.
When you volunteer. Were
When you guys were in your uniform, when you were under the employ of the Marines or the Navy or whoever, when you were in uniform, did you have free speech rights?
No.
Could the
we were a separate society. Free speech didn't apply.
Say it again, Larry.
The Supreme Court ruled that we were a separate society, that free speech did not apply to members of the military.
Correct.
Okay. So you had no free speech rights.
Right.
When you went in and you signed up, your employee, the federal government said, hey, you're going to wear this uniform and you ain't got no free speech rights. You're going to do what we tell you to do. Right. Is that basically it?
Correct.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Okay. Can a police officer, when he's on the job, can the police officer, can he wear a hijab? I guess they're changing that law because a police officer, he can't ignore an oath. Right. I mean, when he's under the employ of the government, He has to do what the government says to do when he's in uniform. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I think that's right. If I'm working for General Electric, am I allowed to go to work, put on my General Electric outfit, and stand out in front of General Electric and disrespect General Electric? Am I allowed? Are they going to pay me to go stand out in front of that place and beat down on General Electric?
On your last
No,
day.
They're not going to. They're not going to do that. They say, you're not going to do that as long as you're working here. If you want to protest on your free time, you go protest on your free time. But you're not going to protest on my company time. You can't do that. Oh, you have free speech rights, but you better do it during your lunch break. You better do it in your downtime. We are not paying you to be here and protest. With me? So I'm a football coach. I said, listen, I want to pray. They said, you can't pray. I said, why can't you pray? I said, well, you're employed by the government. I said, yeah, but Congress shall make no law respecting my right to be able to pray. No. No, you can't do that because you're an employee. When you come in here, you take off your Christian hat, you hang it on the kilt rack, and you go in there and you're working for us. You can't do it. Now, I don't agree with that. Congress can't make any law. School board can't make any law. Judges can't make. I don't agree with it, but that's the law of the land. Now, this, to me, this is so simple. See, there's something very evil going on here, folks. Something very evil. Does anybody know who is the owner? Who owns the Dallas Cowboys? Anybody know?
Jerry Jones.
Does the government own the Dallas Cowboys?
No.
Who? No?
Jerry Jones.
Who owns the Dallas? Jerry Jones owns the Who owns the New England Patriots?
Kraft.
Robert Kraft. Jim Kraft. Robert Kraft owns it. Who owns the Cleveland Browns? Haslam. He owns it. What does Haslam do? He hires employees. Who are the employees? We're the guys that are out there playing the football game. And so when they put on their football game, they're just like a soldier. They reported to work. And when they report to work, they got to do what the boss tells them to do. They don't have the right to be in a football uniform and not respect the if their owner says everybody will stand for the national anthem. If the owner makes that rule, he has the right to do that because there ain't no free speech when you're working for somebody. You don't have free speech. He says if you want to protest when the game's over, after the game, and you want to hold a sign and you walk back up and down in front of the stadium holding your sign, baby, you are on your own time. You can go do this. So, guys, there is something extremely nefarious going on here because every owner has to say is if you don't stand for the national anthem, you are not being paid today. You're not going to be paid. Now, why aren't they saying that? Hey, boys, why aren't they saying that?
Lack of guts.
No, maybe, but no. No. You see, there's something very good, Joe.
Did Jerry Jones love do that?
Money. They're not saying it because of love of money. They don't want to destroy the ratings and all the rest of that.
But Joe, they are. They are destroying the ratings. These are same guys who wear pink shoes during whatever that thing is, breast cancer month. They're all out diddling women and having the wood knocking the women up and the women get abortions and they're wearing pink shoes. What if those players say, we ain't wearing pink? Well, the NFL says, we aren't wearing pink. How about a couple years ago when the Dallas Cowboys wanted to wear a sticker on the helmet respecting the police officers? Do you remember that? And what did the Dallas Cowboys say? No. What did the NFL say? No, you aren't going to do that. So I'm telling you right now, the NFL and the individual team owners have the right to tell their employees how to behave. Anybody disagree with that?
Not at all, Coach. But I can give you an insight that I see that's happening is compared to the same thing that we saw during the storms where all that stuff that they worshiped is being removed. Did you notice how many stadiums had less and less fans? They can have all they want. But if we, the people, refuse to buy the football tickets and the football jerseys, guess what? Just like the stands behind you in your video, when they empty, that God that people have been worshiping, guess what? It's coming down.
Yeah, but Dale, I agree with you. But see, folks, you know, we cannot miss what's going on here, see. It is a deliberate undermining. You'll think I'm crazy, okay? I don't care. It's a deliberate undermining of another American institution. It's, come on, man. Come on. Absolutely. See, I used to get in trouble with people. I hated soccer. Still hate soccer. I don't care if you love soccer. I hate soccer. Can I tell you why I hate soccer? Here you go, right wing watch. Because I've been convinced from the time I was a young guy that American boys play football. American boys play football. They don't play soccer. They play soccer in Europe. They play soccer in Russia. They play soccer in Japan. In America, we play football. In fact, they call it American football. And you look at what's going on all across society, they're doing everything they can now to destroy football. And I'm going to tell you this. I saw this, and I should have brought the article up this morning. Mommies aren't letting their little boys play football anymore. Does anybody know why they're not letting their little boys play football anymore? Come on now. Somebody stand up and help me. Why won't they let their little boys play football anymore?
Concussion. Oh,
concussion. Oh. I used to have guys come to me when I was coaching high school, and good players wouldn't play football. They'd go to save themselves with basketball or whatever. Say, why won't you play? Say, oh, I don't want to get hurt. See, you don't want to get hurt. Well, quit riding in the car. There are a lot more concussions in cars than ever were on a football field. I can promise you that. You're afraid you're going to get hurt? Quit walking down steps. People break their legs all the time walking down steps. See, folks, we got to see exactly what's going on. And it's the sport of America's sport, America's team.
Coach?
Being destroyed right in front of us. Yes, Aaron.
I see it as a different thing. First off, I'm not really into sports, but...
That's why you see it as a different thing. Go ahead.
But no. I see it differently because during these hurricanes, especially in Texas, everybody's helping everybody. Black, white, yellow. Nobody is caring. Because Amen. Just before the hurricane hit, we had all of this stupid Antifa garbage going on. And all of a sudden, the country was rising up one against the other. And then all of a sudden, the hurricane came and everybody came together to help. It did not matter. So now they have to come after something that is wonderful in this country, that is something totally Americana. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to put a rift between those that respect this country.
Yes, ma'am. It is a division between the generations again. They tried to get our young kids, they tried to get my young kids, my children, to play soccer, not football. Because why? Dad don't know the first thing about soccer. But boy, he knows football. And if they can get that, do you think I'm crazy? If they can get that division between dad liking football and son liking lacrosse or soccer, I'm not making fun of those sports. I'm trying to show you something bigger that's going on in the good old US of A. So why would they pick up Colin Kaepernick? Tim Tebow simply took a knee and prayed after he scored a touchdown, and they ran him out of the freaking NFL. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
You're right.
Did you see the NFL? So, did you see the news media covering it and say, let's have more people pray? Were there more and more football players taking knees around the NFL? And no, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the NFL didn't want that happening. So I'm telling you today, you can believe it or not, the NFL doesn't want Americans honoring the flag. This would be so easy. Roger, whatever his name is, the commissioner, doesn't matter.
Roger Goodell.
Coach. You got muted, Coach. Muted, Coach, you got muted. Sorry.
There, they got shoes about, they got rules about armbands you can wear, what color pants you can wear, how high your socks can be, what color your shoes are. The NFL's got all kinds of rules. If you go outside and you smack a woman, which they shouldn't, but you smack a woman, man, you're suspended for 17 years. No free speech there.
You're muted again.
No. So they have rules.
Somebody doing it? It'll say the name who's doing it.
Quit muting me! It's a mutiny on my mutiny! Okay, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. But guys, open your eyes. Open your stinking eyes. Would Colin Kaepernick be such a big deal if somebody important didn't want him to be? They didn't make Tim Tebow a big deal. When Tim Tebow led the Pittsburgh Steelers, no, I'm sorry, the Denver Broncos, and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in that playoff game, do you know that he was the most popular athlete in the world? Tim Tebow was. The most popular athlete in the world. And what did the NFL do? Did they hold him up? Said, man, we got us a star here. We got us a star here. What did they do? Anybody know what they did, Tim Tebow? They ran him out of the stinking league. They ran him out of the league. You say, oh, coach, well, he just wasn't good enough. You're smarter than that, aren't you? You're smarter than that. He wasn't one of the best 36 quarterbacks in America? You have the idea of some of these quarterbacks on these teams that you don't even know? There was a guy playing yesterday for the Indianapolis Colts. I never even heard of him. Cleveland Browns. Take him, come play for the Browns. No. Guys, come on, man. Come on, man. Something bigger going on. All right. I had to get that off my chest. I have a right to pray with my football team. They have a right to say no. All right? Do those guys have the right to bow their knee, ignore the national anthem? Yes, they do. But not if their boss tells them they can't. This is not a free speech issue. It's not like the boss. What if now the boss can't, Roger Goodell can't say, okay, listen, from now on, no going to church on Sundays. Can't do that. They can do whatever they want to on their spare time, free time, except the NFL will punish them if they do something on their free time that makes the NFL look bad. So you mean to tell me that Roger Goodell and the owners don't know how to control this praying thing or this kneeling thing? Well, hell yes, they do. Why don't they? Sorry for my HE double hot hockey sticks. This stuff just irritates me. This mind, you turn, they are murdering babies. And you turn on Facebook and people are talking about whether this Pittsburgh Steeler stood for the national anthem. Trivial. Okay, jump in if you want to. I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to go to the nice me. Does anybody have anything to say?
Makes a lot of sense.
I say let that idol fall, brother. I haven't turned on a football game in a year and a half. Let that idol fall. I watch my sons play because we're homeschooler and they do stand, and we'll kick their butt if they don't, and we'll beat it when we get home if they don't. We're parents.
See, the whole purpose of football was, from my standpoint, is you taught kids to – we taught them this. That's the best thing about football is when you get knocked down, you got to get up. And when you get up, you got to go. And you can't go alone. You got to go as a team. And life is about getting knocked down and getting back up. It's the great lessons that have been taught. Discipline, self-discipline, working as a team, all that stuff. Guys are destroying it all. Can't you see the obvious attempt to divide and conquer the NFL, the football team? You say, well, those owners wouldn't do that. Well, you did know that they're nonprofit, didn't you? Did you know that the NFL doesn't pay any taxes? Does anybody out there know that other than me? That they're all subsidized by local communities, by governments?
Yep.
No, yeah, you guys know that, don't you?
Is that ridiculous?
Well, it's crazy, isn't it? So they're a nonprofit organization getting money from tax dollars. How do you think they build the stadiums?
They're making billions.
Coach, none of this happens if the American public doesn't have an appetite for it. I want to pick up on what somebody said earlier about
Dale said it, yes.
Dale yep. said it, opinion. And that's what we've been conditioned. You can't plant a seed in cement, it won't grow. But if the soil's fertile, which it is, things like, it doesn't make any difference whether it's the flag or abortion. Something's going to happen because we're going to allow it to happen. We have to stop that. We have to start. Public opinion makes today's laws, and today's laws make tomorrow's morals.
It's well said. That's the truth. You don't hear the NFL griping, moaning anything about abortion. I got to say this. Okay, I got to say this. I'm sorry. Rich, hang in there with me. Jim, you guys down there, Dale, I got to say this. Sorry, I got to say it. We're down in Rockport, Texas. And Franklin Graham Samaritan Purse, those people came up in orange, Texas orange, Samaritan Purse Every Volunteers, about 400 of them there this weekend. Remarkable to see. Great, godly Christian people. Down there rescuing, they're rescuing people they didn't even know. Moving debris. We had the opportunity to feed them. But I almost can't stand being around me. Just being honest. It grieved my spirit the whole time. As we were feeding the food, we looked across the street. They were rehabbing a house right across the street from us. Samaritan's Purse was out there rehabbing and cleaning up a house. And it's easier to drive by and say, boy, isn't that something? Isn't that great? Oh, they're serving the community. You know me. What do you think I said? I said, my goodness. 400 of them from all across the country wearing orange shirts out here helping people. And not a damn one of them will go to an abortion clinic. And Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse could end abortion this month. Does anybody disagree with me?
Amen, Coach.
Billy Graham, they were there.
Amen.
So see, we can mobilize people, can't we? We can mobilize them. We can mobilize them for mercy ministry. I'm just going to come clean, okay? Hang on there. Hey, Rich and Jim, you guys, and I want you to jump in here. Somebody said to me, one of our guys, I don't remember which one it was. I tell you, I love those guys. Jim Kraft and Rich. I'm going to forget somebody. Kevin Bushy, Sarge. He took so much crap trying to organize this thing. Chad. Brian Cunningham came, and the Swanson family came, and Marty Kelly came, and I shouldn't even start. Michelle came. I love those guys. I mean, Gary Pierce, salt of the earth people, man, just salt of the earth people came down and laid it on the line. Rich and Jim Bob, geez. See, Rich built a downline. Rich came, brought a guy with him. Rich built a downline. Those guys served so selflessly. It was so hot. They served so selflessly. People they didn't even know. And you guys know this about me. I like to fight. I'm a fighter, not a lover. Sounds funny, because I am a lover, but I'm a fighter. Remember the old commercial, I'd rather fight than switch? I want to fight the devil. And I'm telling you, so much of our effort, we are on the wrong side of this whole issue, guys. We're on the wrong side of it. Everybody loves to go do mercy ministry, although that's not true because a lot of people didn't. But it's easier to get a guy go to feed somebody a hamburger than it is to get somebody to go help you stop killing babies or to help somebody stop. Have somebody go with you to stand up for traditional marriage. It's much easier to go feed them a hamburger and a Coke. That's easy. People line up to do that. And of all my time in ministry, frontline, devil stomping, devil hating, prophetic, thus saith the Lord ministry, I've never seen anything happen like the money that flowed in for mercy. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm trying to open your eyes. People will give a lot of money to throw a hamburger to somebody they don't even know. But they won't flip a dime to stop killing babies. They won't flip a dime to it. And let me make this connection to you. The judgment of God is on America. Judgment of God is on. We know in the scriptures that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. It doesn't say he hates hands that don't feed during hurricanes, although we should. Well, it's in the scriptures, I understand. But we're on the wrong side of it. We wait for the disaster to come, and then we want to go repair everybody.
Coach.
Rather than saying to everybody, hey, let's stop acting like this, and maybe we won't get hurt. Let's stop ignoring God. Let's stop killing babies. Let's stop sneering at marriage, and maybe some of this disaster will disappear. Maybe some of this judgment will leave. But we would rather wrap up their arm after it's broken than to do something, teach them, don't get it broken.
Coach?
Yeah.
You just said a mouthful. You know, the Bible says God hates hands that shed innocent blood. It put the emphasis on hands because it could have said God hates shedding of innocent blood.
Mm.
But it put the emphasis on hands. God hates people who shed innocent blood. Blood. If you think God loves everybody, you're a freaking idiot.
Larry, I'm rubbing off on you, man. Sorry.
No true.
Amen.
Right? So, listen, why won't Samaritans First, Franklin Graham, who, by the way, is far more aggressive than most, why won't he turn the focus of Samaritan men? Ah! It just hit me. Samaritan. Good Samaritan. Ah. What about rescue ministry? Does he have a branch of his ministry called Rescue Ministry? No. See, I want to go turn off the blood. I want to go stop, turn off the spigot. Most churches, most ministries, they want to wipe the blood off the people after it's already been dumped on them. Let me say amen.
Amen.
And it's the truth.
That's true.
It's
amen,
truth.
Brother.
I want to honor some of these guys down there. They did. Rich, Big Rich is unbelievable, man. Jim Bob, top of their game. Who else have I forgotten down there? I know. I just forgot a name, and now I'm in. Josh Manicam.
Your Delta Force in Port Arthur, bro. That's what you forgot.
I was coming to them, man. I was coming to them. I'm doing the guys that I'm seeing sitting around the table. Church camp for adults is what we call it. And I saw that. I got a clip here, Dale, the marvelous work you guys did over. Look, folks, this weekend, Dale, how many meals did you guys serve this weekend? Mercy Ministry. How many meals did you serve, Dale?
Let me encourage you first, brother. Of the seven people that was in our seven, six of them were from my church. And all six of them are abortion clinic rescue baby people.
Unbelievable, huh?
The Salvation Army came yesterday and tried to set up by us. I went over to ask them one question. I said, you got Bibles? No. I said, then leave.
Amen. Amen. Dale, how many meals did you guys serve? Seven of you this weekend.
Now, of course, we only did dinner. We went from like 5 o'clock to 7:30. We served 1,700 meals with seven people. And listen, it wasn't no chicken nugget stuff. You know what we were doing? We were doing spaghetti and meat sauce, garlic bread, snap beans and Creole sauce, and sloppy joes, and then Sweet Baby Ray hamburgers. So yeah, 1,700 meals with seven people.
So Rich, how much pig butt did we go through this weekend, Rich? You brought all that pig butt down from Granite City. You had to cook all that stuff up 900 degrees, whatever it was, 90 degrees outside, 900 degrees in front of the cooker, and then pull that pork apart and put. How many sandwiches do you suppose you served this weekend, Big Rich?
I don't think he's still in here, Coach. I think he dropped out.
Yeah.
Oh, those guys. Those daggone those guys. Well, Dale, they served. I know this. Is there any of them? I'm looking here. Daggone, I wanted to get those guys. You know why they're not? You know why they're not here? Because they're out working already. They're an hour behind us. What time is it? 6:35. They're already on their way to work, probably. They're already on out to rescue. 750 meals they served yesterday, 3 hours, 750. So we're looking at probably yesterday alone, neighborhood of 3,000 meals served just yesterday.
Amen.
So unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And you know what else gets me, Serge? And I'm not saying this to pick on anybody or to make anybody feel bad. I said this to my wife as we're on the airplane flying home together. And I said, listen, you know how those people didn't need us. We didn't make a dent. We didn't make a dent. But you know what?
That's not true, brother. Of course you made a dent.
I know we did. Hang on a minute, Vince. I'm making a point here. Gary Pierce will never be the same. Mike and Evie Swanson and Gabriel and Charles, they'll never be the same. They'll never be the same. Josh Manna will never be the same. Rich will never be the same. And Jim Bob, who came, he will never be the same. And the call of my heart and my life is to try to get you guys off of your asses. Get engaged. Your faith will come alive. Oh, somebody's mad because I said that word. Probably the same people worry about concussions for their football. It's about what we, how much more powerful the body can become if we will engage. And is there anything easier than feeding somebody a pulled pork sandwich and some beans? I want you to grow, man. I want you to grow. We are living in times like we have never seen, where status quo Christianity ain't going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. Michelle and I, geez, criminy, we drove 2.5 hours to get to the airport. Then we flew to Houston and we sat for 3 hours and we got on that plane and flew. And I'm getting in my house and I'm tired and I'm whipped and I'm laying down and tired. And I'm thinking, Jim Kraft's still down there laying on his sleeping bag, going to do it again today. Dale Socha's going to drive 5.5 hours and go do it again. Where is everybody else? Not trying to make you feel bad, but don't care if you do.
Amen, Coach.
And I ask people over and over, why do I have to come from Ohio? Why won't they come? Why won't they come from Laredo, Dallas?
Right next door.
What? Hey, Jim, I wish Jim was still on here. Jim Kraft and Chad, they'd get their chainsaws, and they would go to people's houses and cut up trees, and the people would sit there and watch them do it. They wouldn't get up and hold a branch. People across the street watching them do it, thinking, when's somebody going to come and take care of me? We have to teach people to be self-sufficient again. We cut off the feeding. We're not going to do any more. Dale might. We're not going to do any more feeding. It's time to move on to being self-sustaining here. Let's get some drywall in here. Let's get your life back to normal. You can't just keep looking for Samaritan's Purse or Coach Dave's team to feed you.
They need to put some sweat equity in themselves.
They need to put some sweat equity into themselves. And we talk all the time about a downline. Do you have right now, you I'm talking to, if all hell breaks loose in your neighborhood, do you know 5, 6, 7 neighbors that you all could get together and clean up your yard and then move to the next yard and then move to the next yard? And we go down there. Everybody's sitting there. Everybody's house is trashed and nobody's working together. Let's do your yard, then we'll do our yard. Then we'll do our yard, then we'll do your. Well, let's wait. Maybe FEMA will be here in a minute. Oh, where's that Samaritan's Purse? They come and they'll be here in a second. It's all dependency. It's all dependency. I'll go to my pastor. Maybe my pastor can find some people to help me. Well, hey, why don't you get some people and go to your pastor and say, hey, where can we help, Pastor? I'm frustrated. Am I coming across as a crabby old man this morning? If I am, I'm sorry. I'm going to show
Hell
you some
no.
good stuff.
Hell no.
Okay, thanks, Serge. I'm going to show you some good stuff here.
I didn't get the email this morning, Coach.
Let me encourage you all about Coach. One thing I know about football coaches, most of them coach from the sideline and the players play in the game. When he's telling you to get out there and do it, when he's telling you to go out in front of the abortion clinic, I've probably known Coach longer than anybody on the cube. Coach gets in the game. He is a coach that actually is a player. He's down there. He's helping. He's at the abortion clinic. He's out standing against Target and all that stupid stuff. He goes to the courts. He stands against the courts. He is a coach that also engages the game.
Amen, Dale. Thanks. Just doing my job. Just doing my job. And we ought to all be doing our job. But I got to show you this. This is one of the, I got 10 things to show you. We were on Hagman and Hagman Thursday. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see that. I'll save this for tomorrow because it blew Hagman and Hagman audience away. I know that. I got a call. I know that. Live on the ground, guys doing stuff. They were couldn't believe it. But here's what happened to me, and I got to show you this video. Some of you have seen it.
I don't have the stuff, guys. Coach.
You don't? Well, Jared, I sent it to you. I swear. Let me forward all this to you again. Jared, J-R-E-D, is it? Whoops, sorry, Jared. Is it Outlook or AlphaTech?
AlphaTech. Well, either one should work.
Yep. Yeah, no, I sent it this morning, but it didn't. Maybe my internet was down. Let me know if it pops up there.
Yep.
So I'm checking my Facebook on Friday. It doesn't matter, Friday. And I get an email from some lady. Says, hey, I'm in Rockport. You have any muscle? And I Facebook back, what do you mean, any muscle? Yeah, I lost everything. And I just need to get it to the street so they can haul it away. I text her back or Facebooked her back. Well, I'm here, you know, come on by, we'll talk about it. She said, I'll be there in about 15 minutes. And she came. Came about 15 minutes and she told the most unbelievable story. She lost two children, not in the hurricane. She lost two children 7 years apart in car accidents, separate car accidents. I want you to hear her testimony. See, but the scripture says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, loved not their own lives even to death. And I hate to double back on you, but it's just kind of the way I am. You're going to hear from her. She had four abortions. You hear what I said? She had a child. Four abortions and another child. Both of them are gone.
Got it.
And she says she gets up every day. She says, I can't be mad at the Lord. How can I be mad at the Lord? He tried to give me blessings and I killed him. How can I complain if two get taken away? And she says, I got a testimony. I want the world to hear it. So we filmed it. And I want you to hear it. Do you have it, Jaron?
Yes.
Hope beyond this world. Go ahead and put that up there. This is what's about to me.
Hey. Yeah, want me to roll it?
Roll it.
Hey, folks. Coach Dave here. We're down in Rockport, Texas. Just came across the most amazing testimony. Jerry Lynn would like to share it with those of you who are watching. Let me do a little preface here. Jerry Lynn came up. She lost her home here in Rockport, blown to smithereens. But that's not her story. Her story is that she lost both her son and her daughter in car accidents 7 years apart. Heavy heart, full of faith. Jerry Lynn, ready? Tell us your story.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. I just want this story to reach as many people because I don't want people to make the same mistakes that I've made in my life. I live daily with regret, and I've given it all to the cross. I've put it all at the foot of the cross. But the mistakes that I made are unthinkable. I had two beautiful children. I had Christopher Ashton Bristow, who's 21 years old, and who on a foggy morning was on his way to work as an EMT basic in Milam County, Texas, and his destination was eternity, because that foggy morning he was clipped and his car spun out of control, and he was T-boned multiple times from every direction of other cars, and the ambulance that he was to work on that day responded and picked him up and transported him the grueling 45 minutes to the hospital. They fought for his life. He had sheared his aorta, and he was pronounced dead at Scott and White Hospital in Temple on December the 19th, 2007. Madison, my daughter at the time, was eight years old. It was hard for both of us. We became extremely close. She grew very, very close to the Lord during all this. She grew into a beautiful woman, and she had vowed to save herself for marriage. Madison was your typical Texas teenager. She surfed and she ran barrels, and she had become an EMT basic as well. They both followed in my footsteps and went into the EMS career. And Madison vowed to save herself for marriage. And on December the 7th, 2013, the morning of, she was on her way to a stock show and was in the back seat of a vehicle, and the vehicle ran off the road and flipped several times, and Madison was killed instantly. She didn't suffer. I know that whenever that car wrecked, she said, "Here am I, O Lord," because Madison was ready. She was so ready to go and meet her Savior. She was so in love with him. But that is not the saddest part of my story. I hate to say, and I regret to say, the saddest part of my story is that prior to having Christopher, I had an abortion. And prior to having Madison, I had three abortions. So let's just say that I would give anything to have had all those kids. And I often sit and think, if I would have had the other ones, if I would have just given them a chance to live, I would have a big, happy family, even with the tragedy that I have. And now it's just me and my husband, and we're all alone. We have the dogs are our kids, and we have God, but we're all alone. We absolutely just want to tell everyone, if you're thinking of having an abortion, don't. It's not worth it. You know why I had abortions? I didn't think I could afford the baby, and it was vanity. I didn't want my figure to go. I was worried about getting fat. Yeah. Just absolutely super selfish.
But Geraldine, you said to me earlier that in your moments before the Lord, when your heart was broken, that you really couldn't ask him why.
No, and everybody said, I can't even imagine. You must wonder why God did that to you. And I can't. I don't have the right to ask him, why would you take the two children that I chose not to kill? Why would you take the two children that I found convenient to have? And you know, when I had murdered the other ones, I can't ask why. I have to just trust in him that he knew what was best for them in their lives. And I've shed 100 million tears for resentment, for you know, regret, for feeling horrible about what I've done. And I haven't opened up to a lot of people about how many abortions I actually had. I haven't.
Geraldine, what would you say right now to the post-abortive women who are watching this? There are many who are watching this and have never dealt with it.
I would say, if you've had an abortion, from the bottom of your heart, ask God to forgive you for killing your child. You're a murderer. Don't ever look at a woman who killed her two-year-old because she snapped and think, oh, how horrible. How could you do that? You did the same thing. You just did it when your baby was in your womb. And I think that all the time. Whenever that Casey girl in Florida killed her baby and everybody was judging her, I was like, I did the same thing. I've done worse. I've done it to several kids. So, you know, it's all in God's perspective. That's what you did. And that's what I did. And I'm guilty. I have shed innocent blood. I know that I'm forgiven. And
but you found redemption. How did you find redemption, Geraldine?
By giving it to Jesus and asking him to forgive me and for repenting for what I did. I repented humbly on the floor with many tears and just crying and begging him to forgive me and asking him to please forgive me and praying that one day when I get to heaven, I get to meet those kids and I get to say I'm sorry to them in person, because I wasn't a mother to them. I was so selfish that I just robbed them from a chance to imagine, to feel what life was like, you know, to experience life.
So here you are in 2017, and Hurricane Harvey comes blowing in here and blows away everything that you have, all the material things that you have left in the world. Did you ever stop and say, Lord, why? Haven't I suffered enough?
No.
Lord, why?
My mother said, you're Job, but I'm not Job. I'm just a person who chose to live in the path of a hurricane. We know that when we live on the beach, that's what we take that risk. I believe that, I honestly believe that the hurricane is probably a very beginning of God judging this nation for abortions and gay marriage. I absolutely believe that from the bottom of my heart, and I think it's going to get worse.
We believe that God has more judgment than federal government has relief. That's what we try to say, right?
That is exactly the truth, and they are going to run out. They're going to run out long before our God's anger runs out. So unless everyone says at the very moment, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and everybody turns around and says, hey, let's put God back in schools. Let's make abortion illegal. Let's make gay marriage illegal. And until that happens, we're gonna see more.
So here you are. You've lost your house. You've lost two children. You killed four other children. How do you keep moving, Geraldine?
But for the grace of God, go I, Dave. I have joy in my heart every morning when I wake up, still, because I have the Holy Spirit, and I know that one day, this is not my home. What I see around me is just an opportunity to reach others, to reach the lost. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, I would be unconsolable if my children had not accepted Jesus as their Savior and I did not know where they went. And I don't know how you bury somebody that wasn't saved. I don't know how you do it. But what I did was I just said goodbye to their earth suits. They broke their earth suits and I said goodbye to them. But I know where they're at and I know who they're with. And I know that when I go and when my work here is done, I will see them again. And just like David said, I will look into their eyes with my eyes. And we will be reunited. And we will spend eternity together.
If we have hope in this world only, we are of all men most miserable. So, Geraldine, as you walk around down here in Rockport and you see all the devastation, you just tell people what? It's just stuff, right? It's just stuff.
It's just stuff. This is nothing. And people try to tell me their sob stories, and I say, do you still have your children? And they say yes, and I say, then what have you lost? You've lost wood and fiberglass and glass.
Hay, wood, and stubble is what the scripture says, right?
Yes, and that can all be rebuilt. It's going to cost you a little sweat on your brow, but we were not promised an easy ride in this world. This is a fallen world, and we're just supposed to be the light in the fallen world, and that's why I wanted to make this video, and that's why I reached out to Dave today, because I want to be a light. I want to be that person that's saying, this storm happened, and it's really bad here. The eye of the hurricane went right over my house and shredded it. I have a slab left. But because I knew it was coming, I got all my pictures and all of my stuff that I couldn't replace out, and everything else that's in there can be replaced. And this is not our home. This is not our home. Our home is eternity. I'm storing up my treasures in heaven. And I've turned my back on my past. And I just would like to reach out to any woman. If you're thinking about having an abortion, there's always a way. Don't do it. I would give anything. And I would give anything and everything and live on the side of the road in a tent if I could have my kids back. All of them. The ones I killed and the ones that God called home.
But the joy, the comfort is you're going to see them again.
Amen. I'm going to see them all. And I'm going to apologize to four of them. And my other two, I know, have met the other four. And I know they're all together. And, you know, that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for me to raise those kids and have a big family. And I regret it. I regret it. I just miss having my own kids. I'm so envious of people that have their family.
The joy of the Lord is your strength, is it not?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Amen. God bless you, Geraldine. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Isn't that powerful? Trying to figure out how to wrap this up. First of all, I think I forgot Ray LeBlanc. Ray, I'd never forget you, how hard you worked, how faithful you are. I just fear I forgot somebody else that was down there. Not my intention. And Dale, I want you to... You talk more than me, Dale. Take 2 minutes and let everybody know what you did for that pastor that you ran into down there, Dale. We're going to help you and we're going to support you on that. Guys, also, I got to tell you this. We financially supported the Oath Keepers. I heard from Stuart Rhodes, the head of, he called me on Saturday, says, Coach, we're out of money. If we don't get some money, we're dead in the water. They were in the Everglades. We're able to fund them, keep them moving. Dale, tell what you did with that pastor brother, buddy of yours. You still there, Dale?
I am here. Yes, sir. Man, I was praying. Heart-wrenching. Because it's the same thing that happened to me during Katrina. When I lost everything as a pastor, to have monthly support coming from somebody I didn't know. And this guy comes through the line. I'm praying. I'm saying, God, I want to find a pastor that I can invest in financially, set up at his church, help him out. And I saw this big guy over at the feeding station. I mean, man, he was just smiling, beaming. And so I asked him to say something about God. You know, I said, tell me, what do you feel? Man, he's just saying the whole world needs to know Jesus. This is a movement of God. Well, he came over to the griddle. He told me that he was a pastor. And not only that he was a pastor, that his house was devastated with 5 feet of water, that he was staying in a friend's house, that his church was flooded. And his church was, I could see his church from where we were feeding, which was incredible. And he had saw Chris and them guys down. He goes, we need to have church out here. And I'm like, amen. So God pricked my heart right then. I said, I want you to go back to your church. I want you to give me a business card. So he goes and gets a business card and comes back. And we wrote him a check. So they're financed for $2,000. His name is Jose. I said, Jose, we're gonna financially support you so that doesn't be a burden on your church. His church is about 40 people.
So your church adopted his church?
Yeah. We adopted them to pay for their pastor, so their financial burdens don't have to worry about paying their pastor, that they can get their church back together. He said, this is what he told me. He said, I want you guys out in my parking lot, feeding in my parking lot. So we're gonna move the operation just a block down the road, and we're gonna help them. We're gonna help Sheetrock out. We're gonna help people in his I mean, it was like that one pastor said, give us the one starfish, Lord. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do.
Dale, I just want to say publicly, I was bragging on you all the way home. I know that you don't want to hear it. But the yeoman efforts that you've put forth, man, I just, I don't even know what to say. Chris Keys, I mean, I just don't even know what to say. And we really have an opportunity, folks, still have an opportunity. All around us, there's tornadoes, hurricanes in the lives of people all around. We have an opportunity to help make their lives better, make Christ great. Christ is great. Display his greatness. Make the church great again. Dale, we're going to partner with you to support that brother. Get him back on his feet. Help him bounce like a rubber ball. Winners bounce. Folks, I appreciate you being out there. I appreciate all of you supporting us. Sorry if we kicked you in the shins of that. I'm not sorry. We kicked in the shins today. You'll be all right. Put a little ointment on it, a little bit of prayer. You'll be fine. We cannot let this crisis go to waste. A lot of work to be done. God bless all of you who contributed, all of you who sent emails, all of you who showed up and are going to show up. The fields are white unto harvest. Isn't that what it says, Pastor Dale? And it always shocked me that when Jesus said the fields are white, then he said, pray for workers. Even he knew how hard it was going to be to get people off their butts and get engaged. Doing great things for the cause of Christ. Love you, Dale. Love all you guys out there. We'll see y'all tomorrow.